We're invited to experience God's word this morning as recorded in John's gospel. I'll be reading from John chapter 8, verses 39 through 47, actually. And I think they're only going to have through 45 up on the screen. So listen extra careful on the last two verses then. So hear the word of the Lord. They answered him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you are Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works your father did." They said to him, "We were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God, and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God." And may God bless the reading of his holy and inspired word.
We're going to take a trip this morning. We're going to go on a trip. But when you take a trip, there's a process, isn't there, Bonnie? Bonnie and Dave just got back from a trip from New Zealand. Did you have to have your passports, Bonnie? Yep. Did they check them, Bonnie? Yeah, they did. They checked a whole bunch of stuff, didn't they? Going on a trip is a process. Your destination. You shall ascend the hill of the Lord. Actually, the Bible says, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? There's a process. And who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully. And then Revelation 21, but nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. Now, if you just stay here with these sets of verses here, looks like you got to do a whole lot of work to get to heaven. Now, that's not what it's saying. What it's saying is nobody unclean will enter heaven. Oh, there's a process of coming clean, just like Bob said during the communion. It was very, very timely. Bob said, Bob was talking about sin, and we're going to talk about which sin will keep you out of heaven, or what list of sins will keep you out of heaven. Is there a list of sins? Or as Bob mentioned, is it sin? We have to be clean to reach our destination. That look familiar, Bonnie? Anybody been through the process with TSA? Especially since 9-1-1, they've changed it all and you have to do all kinds of stuff. And this poor guy, he's got three guys surrounding him and his stuff dumped out. And you don't know if you're going to have to take off your shoes and go to a back room and all kinds of stuff. You kind of give up your rights when you go through this process. But there has to be a process. Why? Because of 9-1-1. Because there's a problem. because there's sin. And 911 proved it and still proves it to this day. We're still seeing the ramifications of slavery and 911 and other things. There's a process, and the Lord has a process as well. There's a destination, but there's a screening process, and you have to apply. You have to go through the process to get all those stamps on your passport. And once you get a passport, you go, now I see, I want this country on there. And you've seen, you've been on the road and you've seen the campers with all the states, the United States, and you can see there's four or five blacked out. They haven't been there yet, probably up in Maine, you know, up there, right? There's a process through TSA and ICE and border, and now some people want to get rid of ICE and TSA and the Border Patrol. You know, listen, it's not a bad thing to come into our country. It's just bad when it's illegal. It's the illegal part, and it's the same thing with the Lord. In fact, the Lord talks about the kingdoms and the feast, and when you come in, and there's a parable about somebody who comes in with the wrong garments. You remember that? You got the wrong garments on. You got the right destination, but you got the wrong garments. You have the wrong garments. What we want is an approval stamp on our application. We want an approval. We want a stamp on our passport, especially when it comes to heaven. But Jesus has denied the application to the Pharisees. He said in verse 21, which we read, I think, last week, he said to them again, he's talking to the Jews, I'm going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come. Look at their location. They are in their sin. They would like to be in the kingdom of God. They would like to go to that destination, but there's a process. And Jesus is denying their application because there is a problem. You will see on your bulletin, it talks about the Father's will, your Father's will, the will of your Father. And that's really what it comes down to. What do you want in your life? What is your will when you wake up? What is your will when there's a problem in your life, when you sin? What is your will when you read the Bible and when you think about the Lord and when you go to your prayer closet? What do you will? Because, see, we get caught up sometimes in what we do. And really, that's not the difficulty. It results in what we do. The difficulty is inside and what we will to do. What is my will? And we're going to find out that the Pharisees have a problem. Something went wrong at the State Department. Look at these verses. This is very interesting. This is where the separation really comes into play. Verse 19 through 20, they said to him, therefore, where is your father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my father. If you knew me, you would know my father. These words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, but no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. Isn't it very interesting where this took place? Nothing is written down just for fun. This took place in the treasury, in the temple. In the temple. The separation begins there because of the application process. They answered him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works of your father that Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth I heard from God. That is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works of your father. And then he said in 41 through 42, they said to him, we were not born of sexual immorality. We have one Father, even God. Look at verse 39. Abraham is our father. Denied. Oh, I'm sorry. God is our father. Denied. The process is denied because there's a problem with them, with their works and who they belong to and what they choose to do. Because Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Now, look at the word would. Now, you ever heard, you've been watching a war story, or you've been watching a cowboy story, and they're fighting the enemies, and finally they get to a place where somebody yells, fire at will. You ever look around for the guy Will? You ever feel sorry for the guy Will? You know, the first time that's ever said, and Will's in the ranks, you know, he took off running the other way. No, they're saying, okay, it's up to you. What is your will? See, you're in the ranks, you're in the army, we're fighting. It's up to you now. It's been turned over to you. And it was turned over to the Pharisees to lead the Jews and to shepherd the Jews, Ezekiel says. And yet they chose, and Jesus is saying, you would love me. You would love your father. You would love Abraham if you did the will of your father. If you love father, the father, you would love me. And they choose not to. In fact, in their present state, in the present place where they live, they can't. We're going to find out that they can't. There's something internally wrong. There it is, if you were Abraham's children, if God were your father, that's the process. That's the two answers that must be in the positive for the people who are going to heaven on this journey. And Jesus denied their application because neither Abraham nor the father was their father. How does he know? Because of the works that they were doing or weren't doing. Now we need to be careful again that it's not the works that get you to heaven. It is your will. It is your will that has become the Father's will. And so when you begin to live your life, what does your life look like based on the will? You see, there's a family resemblance. Jesus said to them, why do you not understand what I say? Do you think that he knows? I think this is a rhetorical question. In fact, I think he's throwing it out to them. Ask yourself a question because he's going to answer it. It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil. And your will, there it is. Your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. This is very, very unique set of verses here. This tells you, this gives you a great insight into the devil. Because, you see, once fallen, once somebody or anything has fallen into sin, there is absolutely no hope for them outside of changing their will. They must change their character. You see, once the devil fell into sin, his character changed. I think that when Jesus said, I saw Lucifer or the devil fall like lightning, it was in two ways. From authority, from the place that he had in heaven, physically falling, and he gave up his light. He gave up his light. He gave up his character. He was wise and beautiful, and I think he's become dark. That's my opinion. I don't think he has horns. I don't think he has a pitchfork. but he has definitely changed into somebody bad. He's a liar, and he's a murderer. And so, whoever belonged to him, whoever is a family of this father, has to go through the process. And actually, at some point, that was all of us. You ever had the TSI guy stare at you? You ever get the customs stare? They're looking at you, and they're looking down at their passport, your passport, and they're going, "You don't look like this guy." Well, it's because it's a 15-year-old passport. They last for about 15 years, the ones I had. It's about 14 years. It's about ready to, you know. So you're making up that excuse. And they go, "Okay, boy, you don't, I'm not sure you're as tall as it says it is. The weight looks different. Your hair has changed. And you have glasses." "Well, that's not the only problem, sir." There's a problem. And they're staring at you like, there's a problem. And Jesus, he's not this guy, okay? He doesn't look at you that way. But you understand the process. He's telling the Pharisees, "You might not see it. I mean, I know you look in the mirror every day and you forget what you looked like 15 years ago, but this is not the same. There's a problem." And so, it's denied. And Jesus denies it because he said, "But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me?" And here it is. Whoever is of God. Let's just stop there for a second. Not like God, not acts like God, not has the tendencies or the character or all these things. Because, see, that's the results, all right? You're going to hopefully act more like God. And what I mean by that is you're going to act with the fruit of the Spirit, which we will get to. You're going to act more like Jesus because we can basically physically see Jesus and how he acted and what he said. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus did and said exactly what his Father did. And so we are made in his image, and we are to look like him and become like him, being transformed. But we first must be of God. We must be in God. We must be made sons and daughters of God. And that is, of course, through the blood of Jesus Christ. That is, of course, believing. You see what it says? Why do you not believe? Whoever is the Son of God hears the words of God. And that is where everything changes. You know, that's where everything changes. You know, there's a big discussion going on inside the church about whether you're regenerated first so that you can hear the word of God, or that God gives you the word and then your faith is generated. And my question is, you guys carry on with that big major conversation, and if you ever get it settled, you let me know. I do know this. I've never heard the word of God except he sent it to me. And he awakened something in me, and there was hope in me because I was in a bad place and I'd rather journey to a new place. And he says, "Okay, let's go through the process. Do you know my son?" "No." "Got to know my son." "Well, what's that mean? Who is your son? Who are you?" And our faith is awakened, and then he makes you sons and daughters of God. And then you are of God, and then you are able to hear. We can't hear. They can't hear. And just as a side note, I know we pick on them, okay? There is a separation that we're going to talk about. There's a separation between God's children and the children of the devil. Comes right down to that. There's a separation. We don't separate it. The Lord has. All right? But we have to understand something. They are separated because of their ignorance and their blindness. How else are we expecting them to act? They don't hear the word of God. They don't understand God because they don't have the character of God in them. So let's give them a break when we can and yet not fall into their ways. Whoever's of God hears the word of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. You are still in your predestination place. You are still at home. You're still going through the process, and you don't know the Father, and you can't go to the holy hill unless that happens. Now, let's talk about the principle of separation here just briefly. There's a principle of separation. I always look for these themes that go all the way through the Bible. Redemption, good news, gospel, the Davidic kingdom, the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of God, all these threads. And here's one of them. Here's a principle of separation. Either God leaves or he sends somebody away. When he's rejected, when people reject him, he makes a change in their relationship and also in their final destination. Makes sense, right? Let's look at a couple of those verses. Therefore, the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden. He drove out the man and the woman. He drove them out because they broke his commandments. They had fallen. What fellowship does light have with darkness? None. So he drove them out from the garden. All right? Jesus, in chapter 2, we saw, he drives them out from the temple. He drives the Pharisees out from his father's house. The glory of the Lord departed in Ezekiel chapter 10. It was not a final judgment, but it was a semi-permanent judgment on Israel. The Lord had done over and over and over, and they just rejected him and would not listen to his words. And so he said, I'm leaving, and he left the temple. And he does that in a process, by the way. It's very interesting. Go back and read chapters 9, 10, and 11 of Ezekiel. And then, to you, King of Judah, who sit on David's throne, if you do not obey these words, then I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that this house will become a pile of rubble, so that when the Lord separates, whether he leaves or he sends out, things decay. Things go into destruction. And we can see that happening on the earth. We've seen it happen in the temple. We've seen it happen with Israel. We've seen it happen on the earth, and it continues to do so. And there's other several verses that show this David talking about the temple, the house of the Lord being in rubble because of this separation. See, Jesus said to them, just before he was getting ready to leave Israel, remember, Matthew is written to the Israelites. See, your house is left to you desolate. And then after chapter 23, he goes on and he gives them hope. He says, okay, here's what's going to happen in the future, Matthew 24. Here's what to look for. Here's what I'm going to do. This house is destroyed. I'm going to the church. And I'm going to the remnant later on. And so that's the principle of separation. He said to them again. Now this is Jesus in John chapter 8, verse 21. He said to them again, I'm going away. This is the second time he said it to them. And you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I'm going, you cannot come. But here's a caveat. He says, do you know, he says this exact same thing to his disciples. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now, there's a time difference, I also say to you, where I'm going, you cannot come. Now. And then he said, Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, and here's the caveat, where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow afterwards. Because, see, there was still sin to deal with. Jesus had to die. The process, remember, he has to die and raise. They couldn't go yet because the process wasn't fulfilled, and they will believe on him. Remember, it says after he was raised, they believed. And so the process was fulfilled later. The reason for separation, Jesus says, you are doing the works of your Father, that your Father did. What are their works? What did they do? He was a murderer from the beginning. That's what he did. There is no truth in him. He lies. What is their work? Like their father's. They wanted to kill him. They didn't love him. In fact, he would say, you hate me. If you don't love me, you hate me. Verse 43, you do not understand what I say. You cannot bear to hear my word. You do not believe in me. Their works mirror the works of their father, and that's the reason for the separation. Like father, like son. In verse 19, Jesus talks about my father. And in verse 41, he separates and says, he talks about your father. And this goes all the way. This is another theme through the Bible. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. And in Matthew 13, that parable about the seed, there's several of those. There's some differences there. This one is the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the word, the world. And the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one. So there's a separation on earth, and at some point it will be permanent because of the likeness of our father, the likeness of their father, and that goes to the will and the heart, okay? And they were like their father. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character. Your will is to do your father's desires. And I don't want to read 1 Timothy, but there's a whole list of the things that the children do. And then there's a couple more verses. You should, you know, if you were to read those three verses, sets of verses together, it's a whole lot of stuff. And we find ourselves in there somewhere. And yet we can't get caught up in I'm going to either heaven because I don't do these things or hell because I do. Remember, this is the fruit. This is them being like their father. And that's key. Like our father. What is it to be like our father? But to all who did receive, it says in 1 John 1:12, all who did receive him, remember they didn't. They didn't do any kind of work. They believed what Jesus said and they received him. Who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. In Christ Jesus, you are all sons. Can I add daughters of God? And then this is what the fruit is, okay? We're made his children and the fruit looks like 2 Corinthians. But we have renounced disgraceful underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word, but by the open statement of truth, we would commend ourselves. And he's talking about obeying, understanding, and obeying the truth. Now, this is why I brought my pointer up. Every once in a while, I'll show a diagram because I think it may be helpful. And it's helpful to for us to understand that we have a body, a soul, and a spirit. All right? And in the spirit, in our inner man, there's a problem before we come to Christ. It has fallen. Our spirit is dead. All right? Our will is to do our own will. And we don't have the will, the other side of that, we don't have the will to do good. We can't. We don't have the power. We have no power. That's why we've died. We have no power to do the will of the Father or to do good. We have no love. We've lost all hope. We have no prayer because we have no fellowship. We have no worship except that which is darkened. The inner office, you know, if you go to a business, a big business, and you walk in, you're looking for the office because that's where all the power is, right? The CEO is up there. It's where the power is. It's where the will is, where all the regulations an administration is coming out of that single office, and then it goes to the other offices. What is the work of God? And we need to clarify this before we go on. What is the work of God? Because Jesus says there is a work of God. What work pleases God? John 6:29. Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe." That you believe. That is your work in God. Now, we say, well, I believed. I've got my name on the baptism certificate. I've got it written in my Bible the day I believe. I'm all good, right? No. It's a continuing working out on believing. Understanding. Remember, faith is, we don't read to get faith. We read and learn and love because of our faith. And we want to continue that work. And so Abraham believed the Lord, and he counted to him as righteousness. God counted it to him as righteousness based on the working belief. Remember, it's not a work, but the work, if you have to do anything, is to believe. And Genesis 12:1, now the Lord said to Abraham, "Go," and they set out. Why did I put that up there? Because Abraham believed, and the Lord said, "Okay, here's my word to you, Abraham." He didn't have Romans and Corinthians and all these other things. He didn't even have kings and the others. So he told Abraham, this is my word to you, go. Separate yourself from those people. Who were the people? His kindred, his family. Separate yourself from them. Now, he's not going to call us to leave our wife, our mom and dad when we're young. He's not doing that, but spiritually he is. Remember, he brought a separation. And so, this is what it looks like. Continue to work out your salvation. So now, once this is changed, the Holy Spirit comes in and gives you a will, his will. He gives you his power. He gives you his love. How can you love somebody else? How can you know somebody else's sin and love them? Only by God and understanding yourself. And you begin your prayer life, and you begin to worship him. And once you start this, power comes into your life. And the more that you live your life, the more power that you have. Because he lives in you. For it is God who works in you to will, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Everything changes in the office. And it has to change in the office. And then we work it out. Okay? So another circle. Look at 1 Corinthians first, 1 Thessalonians first. Now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you. So you're justified in Christ, you're saved. Now he's going to sanctify you. He's going to grow you up, mature you, and change you. 10 years from now, you're not going to recognize yourself. And he's going to do it completely. And may you, your whole spirit and soul and body, three parts, don't split them up. Your name is Dan and Sue and Judy and Lori. You're one person with three parts, okay? Body, soul, and spirit. And what happens is, because of the power that changed in here, and your will has changed, and your fellowship and your worship has changed, your reason changes. Your affections change. And you want them to change. You say, "What? I have this wrong affection for this woman, all right? I have this desire. I need that changed." It comes from within here. It comes from within the will that you have now because of the Father. Everything changes here, and then you work it out. You no longer taste the things you should be tasting, or hearing the things you should be hearing, or touching. You see? Because the power changed in you by the will of the Father, Now your will is to work it out and become like Jesus Christ. The family tree. If you belong to Christ, then you are Adam's seed, Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. You are. If you are in Christ, if you believe that he is your Savior, it's changed. Your inward soul, or spirit, I mean, is changed. Our problem is we go, why do I feel like I still need to do this? I still think those, because we haven't worked them out. Because we continue to need to work in faith and the power of the Spirit and longer to change those things and to work them out. Because here it is, we don't know how to be led by the Spirit. Romans, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. He changes us and then we're led, and those things of the fruit of the Spirit change. If you want the fruit of the Spirit, you can go to Galatians, I think it's 5 or some other places. That's what the fruit of the Spirit comes. Not because on my own I've willed it. I'll finish with this. In Romans chapter 7, and I think I mentioned this previously again, but it's time to do it again. Romans chapter 7, Paul is saying, I'm paraphrasing, why do I do the things I don't want to do? Why do I continue to do some of these things? This death in me is still continuing to try to work out. Well, your flesh is dead. Your flesh is dying. Paul says outwardly we're dying, but inwardly, and this is where Paul says, what I want to do, and the more that you strive in the Spirit of God, the more that you will, the more that you want, and the more you will do. In time, in prayer, in fellowship, remember, if we step away, we step back, that fellowship kind of gets broken sometimes. We just need to go back to confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us, and we move on to greater his power and more fruit that belongs to him. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for changing our will. Thank you so much for giving us a destination, Lord. We accept your process of going through and understanding what it is to get up to your holy hill. And I pray that every heart here has accepted that process, that we simply know that we're sinners. My will is dead. My love is dead. I don't know the Father. And yet, coming to you, I do know you, and my destination is changed. And now I pray with all your help of the Spirit and your word that I work this out according to your will and for your glory. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.